So today I am interviewing a very talented Nikki Powell from formerly Healthcare at Home, which we rebranded as Sciences from the 5th of July 2021. Douglas Jackson have had a history of working with Nikki, but I was first introduced to her in 2019 when she was at Pendragon and looking for a new opportunity. Nikki secured a role as Head of Patient Services at Healthcare at Home in June 2019, and recently her successes have led her to be promoted to Director of Patient Services and Experience. So well done, Nikki.
Thank you.
She's a top performing, profit driven, strategic contact center operations transformation and delivery professional with a heavy customer experience focus and outstanding skills in expanding year on year performance. Sciences, formerly Healthcare at Home, is responsible for home care provisions with a contact of over 200,000 patients across the UK, NHS trusts, pharmaceutical companies, UK and Europe, and private medical cancer care support. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Nikki Powell to give a brief overview of her career, motivations, and successes to date. Nikki, a very warm welcome. First of all, I would like to start with finding out what's your favorite travel destination and why?
I've actually got two, to be fair. And actually, what I'd like to do is combine them together. And we were going to combine them together back, well, for this year, for 2021, but due to the pandemic, as it was, all of plans have moved yet again for another year. So 2022 is the plan instead. I would start with 7, maybe 10 days of Florida, all the theme parks, Disney, Universal. They're two of our absolute favorites that we go as a family. They don't like as much around, as the kids are getting older, it's less around prince and princesses and Disney characters and much more around the roller coasters. But then what I'd need to follow that up is another 7 days of pure Caribbean sunshine. I like to cruise, been on a number. So a cruise around the Caribbean, it's my idea of relaxation heaven. A different beach on a different day with generally a different cocktail would be nice. Really helping me to de-stress and unwind before and chill before going back to the day job. So anybody who knows me or has worked with me knows I am a bit like a Tasmanian devil when I'm at work. I move at 100 miles an hour. So that's the same with Disney. But then at the weekends, I also like to be a bit of a sloth. So having that ability to really chill and recharge my batteries, so that cruise covers both aspects, I think. So it has to be 3 weeks then on that basis. So not that I can never get a 3 week holiday very often. But yeah, if I can, that would be good.
Well, that sounds like an amazing combination for a holiday, and I'm sure there's quite a lot of people that would relish the fact of having 3 weeks off and combining the two from that point of view. So going on to the fact that you've obviously described yourself as a Tasmanian devil, and some of this is obviously going to be encompassed in this next sort of question to you. How would you describe yourself in a sentence or two?
How would I describe myself? So I'm very driven, very fast paced, and want everything yesterday is generally what is how what people would first say about me. So but I'm absolutely passionate about giving the best experience possible, whether that's to, I suppose, the patients that I have today or customers that I've had previously. But not only that, to my team, so giving them the best experience because they in turn give my patients the best experience. So they have to go hand in hand. So I constantly strive for change. Like change is everything to me. But not just to do it for the sake. It's got to have value. There's no real off switch. So constantly looking at what I can do today, what can I do tomorrow, what are we doing next week? BAU is not a real state is probably the one. It's like my tagline is there's no such thing as business as usual because that means that you're going backwards. And then the other one, and my team would definitely want to pick up, is that I don't conform to the norm, hence the pink hair and weird hair glasses. But also don't speak to me before 10 o'clock because I'm incredibly grumpy and I can't use my brain before 10 a.m.
And that's so honest though, isn't it? And you know, at the end of the day, you know, to get the best from people, I think you need to make sure you've got enough coffee down your neck before you even start the day. So looking at sort of opportunities then, the biggest opportunity you see, right, what's the biggest opportunity you see sort of right here now in your sector or your skill set?
So if I look at it from a healthcare perspective, it's very much the digitization of healthcare. The pandemic has been horrific in lots of ways for lots of people. But if there is one positive that you could probably take, or that I could take out of the last 18 months, is that some of our patient demographics have really got to grips with the digital world that they perhaps wouldn't have done before. Mm. So because of, and that's because of the necessity rather, you know, before they had a choice, and some of that choice was taken away. So they've had to move into digital where they haven't really needed to. And this has moved healthcare forward probably 5 to 10 years in adoption for contact center type digital enhancements. Yeah. So, in a patient care space. So it's always been the case, you know, that if you think about retail or finance, they've been at the forefront of digitization a lot in the last sort of 10 to 15 years. In healthcare, hasn't really been there because you've always been able to just go to your GP or nip into the pharmacist, etc. And you've not been able to do that for the last 18 months. So I think moving forward, that's been really, really big change. And it's really exciting that we can give people more choice and more opportunity, and convenience and quality. So we don't have to sacrifice quality just because we're moving digitally. And you can still have that human interaction digitally as well. It also gives us the biggest challenge, though, as well, on that basis, because they've had, patients have had a taste of that and they're now hungry for more of it. So it's about how to do that quicker, faster, smarter, better, but at the pace that you can also deliver it as a business. You know, people have needed it really quickly because of the pandemic. So now that they need it, you've got to deliver it, and you've got to really deliver at pace. So that's a, it's a challenge and an opportunity all rolled into one.
And I think it is, it's brilliant. I mean, you know, there's been various reports out there from McKinsey's and places and organisations like that that have done a lot on sort of health tech, the telemedicine side of things as well. Yeah. So it is most certainly something to keep our eyes on and to carry on just sort of encouraging people to use these formats, because I believe, like yourself, it is the way forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So looking at that then, what's the one piece of advice you would give anyone who wanted to progress their career into your specialism?
I would say don't be restrained by just looking in sector. So, and I think people do that quite a lot, and making comparisons to your own competitors. You need to look outside of your market. So look outside of healthcare, strive for excellence in different fields, and then bring it into what you do now. So if I, you know, I talked in the same way, don't be scared of that failure. But if you look at things like retail, or if you look at financial services, they've probably made more of the mistakes that you don't need to make on that basis. Yeah. So take their learnings and move it forward, and almost miss the mistakes out. So that means that you then, but don't worry, don't be scared of failing. Just do it fast and then move on quickly. And, you know, learn and adapt is probably the way. Not all ideas will work for your sector, but if you do try, if you don't try it, you won't know. So looking at it, be able to scope it out and think, what if we could, not why should we type scenario. Yeah. And in respect to the career aspect, there doesn't need to be limitations and timeframes. You don't need a degree in this, you know, you just need some experience and being able to challenge the norm. So, you know, I didn't come into this industry with degrees and going to university, etc. But I, you know, I started from the bottom and worked my way up. Both of them have equal capability in being able to do that. If you've got sound industry knowledge, you can really go far. What you do need to be able to do, though, is sit in in the shoes of those people that are answering those calls, or those mm-hmm. so especially in contact centres or chats, and understanding that them being on the front line is the hardest job of all. So the person yes. answering those phone calls, handling those inquiries, dealing with those complaints, whatever it may be, they have the hardest job. The CEO, the CFO, whether it's me from a digital patient experience perspective, that is nothing compared to the person that sat on the with a headset on at the front line. And if you recognize that and ensure that everything you do makes their lives easier, because they make the lives of their customers or their patients' mm-hmm. lives so much better overall.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think not only across healthcare, but across a lot of industries, again, one of the good things that's come out of this is understanding the talent of the frontline workers, of the customer service agents, understanding what they have to go through, good or bad, and being able to support them in every which way as possible. So, yeah, absolutely. So if there is some good to come out of it, then again, that is one of the better things, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So looking at your career then, your biggest career break, and who you've really got to sort of thank for that or inspired you to sort of carry on pushing yourself forward. Talk to me a little bit about that.
When you asked me this question the other day, I really had to think about this one because it's been quite a tough one. There's been a number of people, to be honest. I think the biggest learning curve for me was when I was at Phones for You. So I was at Phones for You for 7 years. And that business was one that you either loved or you hated. It was very a Marmite business, being very, you know, but I loved every second of it. And I think the reason being is it hit all of the key things that I want in a job. So it was really fast paced. It was very driven. It was fearless. It was a proper industry disruptor. It didn't conform to the norm. The list is endless as to why I loved it, yeah. to be fair. But one of the biggest things was the team I worked with. They were immense. So from the top to the bottom. So if I think about the people who got the headsets on to the people that were, you know, that was my managing director, etc. But to name a couple, because I will name drop a couple. So there was Sarah Dodd, who is now a transformation specialist at Assurement, but she was the most inspiring boss I've ever had. We still bounce ideas off each other today, and thought processes and moans, I'll be honest, moans too. And that's been nearly 20 years to do that. So I think that's good. And then the other one wasn't somebody who I necessarily actually worked with, but the other one was Dave Evans. So he came into Phones for You to support the leadership development. So he was brought in as a leadership coach with his company, and he completely changed my mentality and probably hundreds of others in Phones for You at the time. He gave me the confidence that you're in control of the changes in your life. So even when things aren't going to plan, that's okay, because you can control it. You're in control, nobody else. And how to achieve your objectives. So still today, I refer back to what he taught me, and he's got an amazing presence today on LinkedIn and in my life still. So in my whole life as well, not just work. So check him out on LinkedIn too. He's brilliant.
Yeah, that sounds good. And you know what? To have somebody that can mentor and inspire you, and it's sometimes the little tiny things, isn't it, that they either say or do. It's not necessarily always rocket science. It's just the little tiny things that they say or do, or the way that they say it, that really resonates, and you carry it through the whole of your career and utilize it from a professional and a personal perspective. And, you know, I think there's got to be a number of people that have been through that type of experience, really, hopefully, during their lives. If they haven't, then I think they need to check him out anyway. So looking at... you know, sort of, as I say, I've worked with you before and things like that. Previously, you've had experience with Douglas Stratford. I know that started before we sort of connected with each other. But I did just want to sort of lend a question out to you, because it's always really nice to hear that somebody that you've worked with has done exceptionally well in getting the offer, but has also progressed their career. And I suppose, it makes everyone feel quite proud that's been involved in that process from the start. But I just wanted to ask you, sort of, going back that when we first started speaking, your previous experience with Douglas Jackson, what's your thoughts of you know, sort of working with us as an organisation and as an individual consultant?
So I actually worked with Douglas Jackson for a number of roles before working with you in 2019. So some, you know, I was able to secure the job. So it was, you know, and they're always the real positives that everybody always talks about, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, they were amazing. The process was really good and smooth, etc. Everybody gets that when they have a, you know, when they get a really positive outcome, if you get the role. But what I actually think has been the best thing about working with Douglas Jackson was when I didn't get the job, to be fair. And that's because the candidate journey was really, really well managed in regards to challenging why you want the job in the first place, mm-hmm. and why the role is of interest, challenging whether or not the skill set is a match and the culture fit, because they're absolutely, the skills are pretty basic, you know, you can either do the job or you can't do the job. Then, you know, it's a tick box exercise in that respect, but culture fit is absolutely massive and is really difficult to sometimes quantify. So having that relationship that then works with a candidate and a consultant that's talking to you about why a culture might not be the most appropriate is really, really critical. Yeah. And I had that scenario where actually everything on paper looked to be perfect, but I, you know, they were the recruiter at the time was really clear with me that they were concerned that the culture fit might not be best for me. Not mm-hmm. even better, you know, the person doing the recruiting, but it has to be a match for both. What you don't want to do is waste all of that time as the person going into a business and the risk of losing it in a role that you're already in. And for them taking that risk on a new hire, that actually is never going to be that right culture fit. So having that challenge in saying, this isn't the right fit, but what I do have is I have a strong army of other roles that are coming on board, etc., that means that, you know, we can find you the right job. And that means that then the one thing that you are willing to do is listen and go, you know what, instead of having a speculatively call or an email that's saying you answer the phone. So when you ring me, I answer on the basis because it's the right thing to do, is because you get me and you get what I need.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we've had lots of conversations with candidates and clients about this topic, and it is a known fact that people will hire on skill, but they'll actually fire on behaviour.
Yeah.
You're at work a long time. You know, nobody can afford to take that risk to move somewhere if it's not going to be the right cultural fit. So that's more important, because part of the role, I suppose, can be, in a lot of instances, can be learned and taught and picked up along the way. Like you say, effectively, if you're within that arena, it's a tick box exercise, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that culture fit is what's going to drive your successes as an individual, but also within the company and within the team, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that was one of my biggest challenges with you, Kerry, with this role was, you know, what was the culture going to be like? You know, especially coming out of retail and going into a whole new industry is very, very different. But it seems to have worked. 2 years in, loving it, promotion, etc.
Absolutely. That whole thing of thinking outside the box. And there's one other question that I wanted to sort of ask you then is, and it sort of links in with this quite nicely, but what inspires you and why?
What inspires me? I don't like falling into cliches, so it's a bit like, it's a tough one. I suppose what gets me up in the morning, out of the house and into work, or more likely today onto a Teams call, to be fair, that's probably more of an inspiration. So challenge, constantly evolving, not wanting to think this is what I could have done or what I should have done today. Mm-hmm. Even if it's been the worst decision ever, and I've made several of those, to be fair, getting it done and making things better is what I love to do. That's my passion. So when I see that work in real time, that drives me to do it again and again. So I think that's the inspiration, is when you do the change, get it right, see an impact, then that becomes a little bit addictive.
Yes, absolutely. And like you say, sometimes the road can be a little bit bumpy on the way. There's right turns, there's wrong turns, there's starting again or repicking things up and going in a different direction. But it's what makes it interesting and keeps sort of the cogs going, doesn't it, really, from that perspective. So, Nikki, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you today. I know you're extremely busy, but the fact that you've sort of given me some real insight here on how your career has panned out and the successes, but being very honest with those successes and the journey to get there. And what I would like to do is hopefully sort of keep in touch in another couple of years' time, see where your journey is going there, and hopefully pick up with you again.
Brilliant. Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
So wonderful. Nikki, it's been amazing. I do wish you all the best of luck and with the new branding of the organisation and your recently new promotion. And I look forward to keeping in touch as time goes by.
Cheers. Thanks, Kerry. Thanks. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.